while back, I read a story that I want to share with you. It's a true story, actually, about honeybees. And the reason that I want to share it with you is because it fits right into the message that I believe God has for us today. And the story that I read goes something like this. On a hot day when the temperature outside is above normal, about half of the bees that are in a colony or in a hive will not leave the hive. Instead, they will stay inside the hive all day long, and they will find a specific place, and they will constantly flap their wings all day long into the air. And the other half of the colony will gather nectar and pollen and things of that sort and bring it back to the hive to make honey. The story says, because the bees that stayed in the hive are flapping their wings all together in unity, the temperature inside that beehive will stay about 10 degrees cooler than the temperature outside the hive. You see, I believe that God showed them a way to keep the beehive cool just by working together. But there's something else I found interesting. It says the bees also know how to rotate their duties every day. It seems that the ones that stayed inside and cooled the hive today, they will go outside tomorrow and gather the nectar, while the ones that went out and gathered today will stay in the hive tomorrow and keep it cool the way the others did today. You know, isn't it amazing what God can accomplish when we work together as a team? I mean, isn't it crazy that God even speaks to the bees and shows them how to keep their hive cool on hot summer days so that they don't get sweltering also in there? It's amazing what God can do when we just allow him to do so. Over the past few weeks, Pastor has been leading us through a series of messages on unity. And this morning, I want to stay with that same theme. I want to talk to you this morning about how through unity, we can become a team that can make a difference, look at me, in each other's lives. I want to talk to you, I want to share with you how we can break those chains that we seem to carry around in our lives when we approach them together. I want to speak with you about how we can grow spiritually together, and I want to share with you how we can solve many of our own everyday problems just simply by approaching them together. You know, guys, I don't believe for a minute that God created us to be alone. I mean, do you believe that? Come on, do you believe that? Do you believe God created us to live our life alone? I don't believe that for a minute. I believe that God, when he created us, I believe God put us here to work together and to serve together and to be together as a team of people. I believe God put us here for each other. And nowhere in the Bible is this concept more evident than in the passage that I'm going to share with you this morning. So if you have your Bible with you, I invite you to go with me to the book of Mark. Chapter 2, and I want to take a look at one of the most exceptional accounts of unity that I have ever found anywhere in the Bible. And I want to share with you this morning that I want your takeaway this morning from this morning's service to be simply this. We're about to make a move. We're about to make a move. Mark chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 12. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. I can just see that happening. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, "What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." And Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking. So he asked them, "Why do you question this in your heart? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to stand up, pick up your mat, and walk?" He said, "So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before." You know, this is an amazing story, and I think we've probably all heard it at least once, but you know, when we think of this story, when we read this story, I think our focus is more so on those four men that carried this guy up onto the roof and lowered him down in front of Jesus so that Jesus could heal him of his paralysis. But this morning, I want to ask you just for a moment to set that thought to the side just for a minute, and I want to take a look at this passage from the perspective of the man on the mat. And I want you to see some things. Stay with me. I want you to see through this man's story that Jesus offers help, he offers hope, and he offers healing to anyone. Say anyone. Anyone who is willing to go to him, sincerely open their heart and ask him for it, and then go do, listen to me, then go do what he says we have to do in order to receive it. I want you to see that in this message. But I also want you to see something else. I also want you to realize something else. I want you to see that you yourself, you see, you also may have some things going on in your life that God will not address until you open your heart and allow someone else to come in and help you through it. I need you to understand that. I need you to see that. You see, I believe that God wants us to become one. I believe God wants us all working together as a team because, you see, that's the only way we're ever going to reach this world. We can't do it by ourselves. You're not good enough to do it by yourself. I'm not good enough to do it by myself. We have to work together as a team if we're going to make a difference in this city, in this county, in this state, in this country, and in this world. God has put us here together to work together as a team to make a difference in the lives of his people. God has put us here for that purpose. This morning, I want to share a couple things with you that I believe we can only accomplish together, or that we cannot accomplish alone. And the first thing I want to say to you is this. I believe when we work together as a team that we can break the hold that paralysis has on many of us. And I want you to stay with me right here. You see, this man on the mat, he was physically paralyzed. Physically. And I can't even imagine what that must have been like back in those days. This man had no... he had no way to even eat unless somebody carried him to go get something to eat. He had no way to earn any kind of a living or anything unless somebody took him to make that happen. This man was physically paralyzed. But I want to move forward about 2,000 years into February of 2017, and I want us to take a look deep within ourselves. And as we look, I think we will find that some of us are paralyzed too. And don't misunderstand, I'm not talking about physical paralysis, but some of us are paralyzed too. Because you see, many of us, we have become spiritually paralyzed. We have become spiritually paralyzed. And what exactly does that mean? That means when you take a real good, look at me, look right here. That means when you take a real hard look at your own life, you realize that you have made no spiritual advancement in a long time. Maybe months, maybe even years. Listen to me. You don't read your Bible anymore. You don't pray like you used to. And I ain't stepping on no toes, but if you feel like I am, your feet shouldn't have been out there. You don't pray like you used to. You don't feel the working of the Holy Spirit moving in your life like you used to feel the working of the Holy Spirit moving in your life. You don't feel that anymore. And deep down within your soul, you have this feeling, you've developed this feeling of that's almost helpless or hopelessness because you don't feel like you used to feel. And nobody knows that but you. Let me tell you something. If the person that I have just described is you, then more than likely you have become spiritually paralyzed. I want to leave that right there for just a minute and I'll be back. There are also some of us who struggle with emotional paralysis. And we have allowed it to destroy our marriages. We have allowed it to destroy some of our relationships with others. And we have found that it has turned us into a lonely person living a lonely life. Pastor Rocky, how did I get that way? I'm glad you asked. It started when something happened in your life that you had no control over. It happened when something happened and somebody hurt you or left a hurt somewhere in your life. And now deep down inside of yourself, you're broken to the point that you don't know how to handle it. Because you're dealing with unforgiveness. You're dealing with bitterness. You deal with anger. You deal with regret. You deal with shame. You deal with all of these things deep down inside. Listen to me, look right here. Because you have become emotionally paralyzed. Man, we hide it well. We hide it well. We come to church with a smile on our face. We meet somebody on the street and they ask, how you doing? Man, I am great. I'm awesome. God is good. But then we go home and close the door and make sure the shades are down. And we sit there in the dark because we don't know how to handle the life that we're being forced to live. Isn't that crazy? But you know what's awesome? You're right. It's real. It's true. Many of us have become emotionally paralyzed. And then let's not forget about those of us who are paralyzed by our habits and our addictions and the strongholds that we have in our life that we want to break, but we just don't know how. And then here comes the big question. What are we supposed to do when we find ourselves in one of these places and we don't feel like we have anyone to lean on but ourselves? What do we do with that? I'm glad you asked again because I have another answer. First of all, I want you to remember that life happens. It's not good, it's not right, but life happens. And when life happens, hurt has a tendency to fall on all of us every once in a while. It just happens. Is there anyone here that's never been hurt? Man, if there's anyone here that's never been hurt, I need to see you after church. Life happens, and we end up getting hurt in the process. But I want you to understand something else. If you have given your life over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, then you are part of God's team. I don't know if you grasp that or not, but if you have given your life over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you are part of God's team. And what does that mean? It means that we belong. God has given us to each other. God has given us to each other, and He expects us to be there for each other in those times when we are struggling. We are all part of God's team. And God expects us. He expects us to be there for one another. When you're going on that, when you're on that time of your life, or in that time of your life when you're struggling because something has beat you up or put you down, man, I just want to come and love on you. I just want to come put my arm around you and tell you I love you and that you're not by yourself. When you go down through that valley, I want to come down there where you're at, because I want to help you get back up here. You see, that's what God does for us. We are all part of God's team. And God didn't put us here to walk this walk by ourselves. God didn't put us here for that. This man in this story, listen to me. You see, he couldn't get to Jesus under his own power because his problem was bigger than he was. Let me ask y'all something. And I'm being real here. So I want you to be real. Is there anybody here this morning that's dealing with a problem that's bigger than you are? Oh, wow. Those of you ain't got your hand up. See that eyebrow? See, we deal with these things. It's part of the life that we have. Well, this man that was paralyzed, he was dealing with a life problem that was greater than he was. And if he had not been unified with those four men who came to his rescue, do you realize that he would have had no hope of ever being made right? He would have no hope of recovery. I want you to understand something. I have a habit of doing this, so just bear with me. Look at me. There's going to come a time in your life when you're going to need someone to take you to Jesus. There's going to come a time when you can't get there. And I'm not talking about your salvation. I ain't going to exclude that. But I'm not talking about your salvation. There's going to come a time in your life when you're going to need a touch from the Master's hand. And the only way you're going to be able to get there is if you are united with a team of people who will take you and do for you what you cannot do for yourself. That's it. There's going to come that time. How many of you have ever heard the word synergy? You ever heard that before? Synergy. Synergy. It's when you put two or more people together to produce a result that you cannot obtain by yourself. You see, that's what this service is about. It's about synergy. It's about putting two or more people together to produce a result that we can't do by ourselves. That's what it's all about. You see, God tells us in His Word that teamwork has the power to change our lives. But listen to me. The masks have to come off in order for that to happen. You have to become real with yourself. You know how many people lie to themselves? I get up every morning, look in the mirror, and tell myself how good looking I am. I just lie. I start my day off that way. My wife comes in and looks in the mirror, and she said, "What are you doing?" It's amazing. The masks have to come off, and we have to get real with each other and not superficial. You want to make a change? Let me ask you a question. I want you to think just for a minute about something that's going on in your life that you wish you could just make it go away. I mean, just Let me ask you something. If I told you if you joined my team, I could help you get rid of it, would you join my team? Would you come and be a part of my team? Because, you see, I'm part of God's team. The masks have to come off. And we have to get real with each other. We have to be open, and we have to allow ourselves to become vulnerable. We have to allow our lives to be shared with one another. Listen, and here's a big word. We have to become accountable to one another for those things in our life that we need to be held accountable to. You see, that's what love does. But over and above all of that stuff, you know what we have to do more so than anything? We have to learn how to love one another. I don't care what the color of your skin is. I don't care what your background is. I don't care how much money you got or ain't got, because I ain't got none. I got a boat. I just want to love you. And I just want you to love me for who I am. This crazy old man up here. I just want you to love me for who I am so that I can love you for who you are. And why are all these things so important? Because the only way, listen to me, that we will ever be able to break the hold that spiritual paralysis and emotional paralysis has on each one of us is to become one with another. I need you. I need you. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, I need you. Look back at him and say, you need me. We can't do this by ourselves. And when we get that concept, when we truly grasp that concept, our lives will begin to change. Another thing that I want to say is this. When we work together as a team, it releases the creativity that we have within us. I don't know if those four friends got together and had a brainstorming session or what happened. You know, but at some point, they decided to think outside the box. At some point, they came up with a solution to their friend's problem. One of those guys had to look at the others and say, you know, guys, there's a doggone many people here. How are we going to get him to the door? I mean, we can't get through that crowd to get to him. And they're calling this guy, and carrying this guy on a mat, and they say, we can't get to him. Look at all those people. And one of the dudes says, there's a stairwell right there. Let's just go up on the roof and dig a hole and go dig a hole in it. It's just mud and straw. Let's just dig a hole in it. You see, verses 1 and 2 of this passage, look at it. It says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room even outside the door. So you see, these guys, when they got there with this paralyzed man, they had a decision to make. Listen to me. Either their friend was going to stay paralyzed, or else they were going to have to get real creative. They were going to have to think of something outside the box. Someone once said this. They said, when a mind is stretched by a new idea, it will never regain its original dimensions. When a mind is stretched by a new idea, it will never regain its original dimensions. In other words, when you stretch your mind, it changes you. And you will never be the same ever again. When we work together as a team, it releases the creativity that we have within each one of us. And it stretches our mind. And when we do that, I want you to understand, our potential to come up with an out-of-the-box solution to our own problems increases tremendously. I would love to help you get over your problems. I would love to be able to sit down with you and show you how to defeat those things in your life that make you lay awake in bed at night and look at the ceiling, tears running down your face. I would like to show you how to put them right on down that floor and step on them. That's what creative thinking does. That's what happens when we come together as a team. Verse 5 also tells us that working together will increase your faith. Look at verse 5. It says, when Jesus, now these four men have dug this hole, and they've lowered this man down through the mat. And verse 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith, talking about the four men, not the man on the mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. If you write in your Bible, you should underline those words, that when Jesus saw their faith. You see, when Jesus saw the faith of those four friends that lowered that man on the mat, that's when he responded. Go with me. Look at verse 5. Look at it again. Jesus said to him, he said, son, your sins are forgiven. Do you know what that means? He wasn't even saved yet. The man on that mat wasn't even, he wasn't even saved yet. Son, your sins are forgiven. And what that says to us all, is that Jesus will come to our rescue through the faith of someone else. But it also means that he will go to someone else through your faith. Do you get that? Are you starting to understand the importance of being together as a team? Are you beginning to understand why we have to be unified? I need your faith. I need you. Back in 1999, yeah, share. Back in 1999, my wife had developed hepatitis C. And hepatitis C back in 1999, back 100 years ago, was It was not something as simple as going and getting a couple of pills and they could take care of it. Her viral load had gone to 800 parts per million. And when it reached 1 million parts per million, that meant her blood was saturated. And she was to that point where everything was shutting down. She was so sick one night. I went into my study and got on my knees before the Lord and began to pray and began to ask him. I told God, I said, she's my wife. You gave her to me. And I opened my Bible to Isaiah 40, and I said, look here, you said that nothing is impossible for you. I said, you told me here that you call the stars by name. Surely a God that powerful can heal my wife of something like hepatitis C. And God spoke to me and said, he said, because of your faith, she is healed. That was on a Sunday night. That was Sunday night. Monday morning, I took her to the hospital for an appointment. They drew blood. Wednesday, the doctor called and said, I need you in my office right away. We drove back to the hospital, Summit Hospital in Nashville, Tennessee. Drove back to the hospital. Doctor came into the office, sat on the edge of his desk, crossed his arms, and he said, I don't know what to tell you. He said, but you don't have hepatitis C anymore. And he said, it's not. He said, it's not a matter of it being in remission. He said, you don't have it. He said, it's not even detectable. He said, in your blood. It's as though you've never even had any part of it in your body. You see, God heals through the faith of others. When I was pastoring in Nashville, in another town there just south of Nashville, a young man in our church had multiple sclerosis, lesions on the brain, needles in his leg twice a day, electric wheelchair. God got me up at 3 o'clock in the morning and said, pray for this boy because I'm getting ready to heal him. I didn't go to sleep. It was Sunday morning. I prayed for him all morning. I went to church, got in the pulpit, called him forward. I anointed him and told him, God's going to heal you. January. He went back for his annual checkup. He left the checkup and come back to see me. He said, Pastor Rocky, you got to quit praying for me because I got to get a job. We need each other. I have to have you. Last Sunday, Rhonda, her husband's in the hospital right here in Leesburg, had a heart condition, has had 3 bypasses. Been in the hospital several times because of it. I think he said he's been up there like 10 times because of a heart condition, things that were going on in his heart. He was back in there again. I laid my hand on him. I said, God has given me a gift to heal you. And I said, and I'm speaking that over your life. And tomorrow morning when they go into your heart, they will find absolutely nothing. And I want to see you in church Sunday. Monday morning, I got a text from Rhonda. She said they just got done with his procedure. And they said they found absolutely nothing and sent him home. I'm just telling you, we need each other. I need you. right here at Frontier Church. A couple of months back, my wife has dealt with an MSG allergy that has put her in the hospital on many occasions. It's just a massive MSG allergy. Miss Mandy was praying, and the Lord spoke to my wife. Miss Mandy said there's a woman in the Bible that had an infirmity for 18 years. You remember that, sissy? And my wife got up and fell up on her face. That morning, God healed her from the MSG allergy, and she's never had another problem with it. And eats it left and right now. Eats. Thank you for being obedient. She eats things that she hasn't eaten for 30 years. God healed her. One of the granddaughters had a problem with her liver. Had some kind of a spot or a cyst or something on it. I prayed for her. I told her, I said, it's gone. I saw it leave. She went for her checkup. Doctor said, I don't know what it is. It's gone. Did he not? I'm just saying to you, we need each other. I need your faith. You need my faith, because you see, there's going to come a time in every one of your lives when your faith may become weak. And when that happens, I need you to know that you're going to have somebody there that's going to carry you up on the roof, dig a hole, lower you before Jesus so that you can be restored. I need that. We have to be unified. We have to be a team. I have to have you on my side, and I have to know that. And I want you to know before God, look at me, look right here. I want you to know before God, I'm on your team. You need me, I'm going to be there. I'm unified with you. I am part of your team. I need you. We need each other. You know, back in 2005, a man by the name of Erwin McManus wrote a book called The Barbarian Way. I want you to check this out. And in his book, he tells the story about the rhinoceros. Go figure. But here's what he says. He says, a bunch of rhinos can run at a speed of 30 miles an hour, which is pretty fast when you consider how heavy they are. But he says, there's just one problem with this. They have very poor eyesight, so they can only see 30 feet in front of them. Now, can you imagine a bunch of rhinos plowing ahead at 30 miles an hour with their head down and no idea what's ahead of them at 31 feet? I mean, you would think that it would... That they would want to slow down a little bit, that they would be a little hesitant to run at full speed like that, but that doesn't stop them. It doesn't even hinder them. And McManus says it is that action that gives them their name. Listen to me. You see, a bunch of bees is called a colony. A bunch of birds is called a flock. A bunch of horses or cows, they're called a herd. A bunch of lions, they're called a pride. And if you see a bunch of dogs or wolves running together, they're called a pack. But when you see a bunch of rhinos running together, you know what they're called? They're called a crash. they get that name because of their potential. 30 miles an hour, 30 feet. They literally call a bunch of rhinos running together a crash. Now listen to me. I believe God wants Frontier Church to become a crash. You see, I believe God wants us to become an unstoppable force. You see, that's what I believe. And as we plow ahead, just like that crash of rhinos, you know, we don't have to know the future. We don't have to know what's out there, just like them. We don't have to know. We know the one who holds the future. And we don't have to be able to see so far ahead of us. Didn't God say if his eye is on the sparrow that he's going to watch over us? Did God not say that? Sure he did. You see, all we need is God and each other and the faith to believe that he's going to guide our steps as we move forward, move this church forward for him. You see, that's all we need. God created us to work together as a team. Those four men that dug that hole in the roof and let their friends down, listen to me. Do you know that they never so much as even got their name in the Bible? They're the ones we focus on when we read this story, and they didn't even get their names put in the Bible. But then again, guys, it wasn't about them. It was about the team. You hear me? It was about the team. Faith won out. Faith won out when one of those guys said, you know, we got to get him to Jesus any way we can. And it doesn't matter what people think. I don't care what they say. I don't care how they act. If we don't get him to Jesus, he's going to have to live the rest of his life like this. Dude, we're going to have to carry him around on this mat for the rest of his life. We need to get this boy healed. Wasn't about them. So I'm going to close with this. After seeing those four men lower their friend down through the roof on the mat and seeing how Jesus forgave the man's sins and healed him of his paralysis, look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. It says, this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Let me ask you something in closing. Do you want to see God do some things in your life that most people only talk about? One, praise God, we have one. Do you want to see God do some things in your life that most people only talk about? Do you? I do. With all of my heart and my soul and my strength and my mind and everything that I am, I do. I want God to do some things through me and with me and in me that people only talk about. I want to see spiritual paralysis broken in this church. I want to see your emotional paralysis broken, and I want to see you healed in this church. I want to see addictions fall off and lay on the floor. You see, I want to see some amazing things. I want to see you come out of that box that you're living in. I want to see us become a team working together in unity so that we can change this county. I want people to become hungry for what we have here at Frontier Church. Look at me one more time. Because you see, guys, we're not just any church. We're a family. Are we not? We're not just any church. You're my brother. And you're my sister. And I love you. And I need you. And when you're not here, I'm not whole. You see, I want to see God do some amazing things, but I believe before God can do, I believe before God can accomplish things He wants to accomplish through us, I think He's going to need to do some things within us. You see, I think He needs to take those chains off of you that's been holding you down. I think He needs to break some of those things away that's holding you down, so that you can be free to be who He created you to be. You see, we're about to make a move. We're about to make a move. And I want you to make that move with me. So I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to stand right where you are. Just for a moment, please.